supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
March came in like a lion, but by this Sunday, there will be a sure sign of spring to come. Joining me to establish the timeline is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, where are we going and when?
Forward into the future, but just an hour. Sunday morning at 2 a.m., we go from standard time to daylight saving time. And that will be opening the door for us to head forward into spring because, of course, if you've been paying attention early in the morning, sunrises have been coming earlier and earlier now. So throwing the clock forward also gives us some extra time there in the evenings. So the vernal equinox is just a few days later, another week later, and we'll be rolling right downhill towards summer.
But again, this is a man-made moment in time. It doesn't really pertain to anything in the astronomical realm.
And you know, as I love to say, you know, the solar system and the universe really don't care what time we think it is. They have their time sequences and schedules and intervals all set up that have nothing to do with us. But we here on this planet have a need to try to regulate things in a way that will make our lives more, shall we say, efficient. One thing we can notice in this also is that as we get closer to the equator, that time change doesn't really make much difference because the time of sunrise and sunset stays about the same, right at the same time throughout the year. But as you get toward the poles of the planet, all of this stuff shifts dramatically such that in the summer, you can have a brief period when it's sunny 24 hours a day for several weeks. And then in the winter, you have the opposite where it's dark all day long for several weeks during the winter.
Say, Derek, we wouldn't have had to wait until Sunday for a spring reminder had you brought back a piece of Pasadena weather with you where you were last week.
Oh, it was delightful in Pasadena last week. I was working on a project with BBC and PBS creating a new documentary that will have some content in it about telescopes. And we were in Pasadena to visit two very interesting and historic places. One is the Mount Wilson Observatory just above Los Angeles at an altitude of about 5,700 feet. And this is the observatory which in the early 1900s was used by Edwin Hubble to photograph these objects in the sky that were known then as island nebulae, thought to be part of the universe, which at that time was defined as our galaxy alone. He came to realize that they weren't clouds of gas and dust, but instead were galaxies, individual galaxies, spirals like our own. And with this determination, he figured out that the universe, A, is full of galaxies, B, is much, much, much larger than we ever expected, and along with some suggestions from Einstein, also came to understand that the universe is expanding. And I could feel the history in the room. There were thousands of plates here taken by different astronomers that worked at the observatory, but Hubble certainly stand out as some of the most important ones.
We're still trying to determine the ultimate size of the universe, but now the thinking is it's expanding at a faster rate than previously thought.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point because one of the things that Hubble did come across was this idea of the what seemed to be the motion of the galaxies. All the galaxies that he observed through spectroscopic analysis seemed to be rushing away from the Milky Way galaxy. So he surmised that all the galaxies were rushing away from each other. And he could measure this and found out that the most distant ones were moving away faster than closer ones, but that there was a rate at which it seemed that this was happening. And what Hubble's work pointed to is that it was not the galaxies that were rushing away from each other, but that the entire universe is expanding and thus pulling the galaxies along with them. So the Hubble constant, as this number is known, has very great consequence for us understanding the true origin of the universe.
There is we think, a fixed amount of matter, whether we call it the stuff that we can see or dark matter or energy. But if it's increasingly occupying a larger and larger universe, could it eventually dilute out that there's virtually nothing left?
At some point, that is going to be the case. While Hubble expected that the expansion of the universe would get to a certain point and stop and then collapse again, The researchers in 1998 actually won a Nobel Prize for their discovery that the universe's expansion is accelerating. And it is in that acceleration that we find perhaps the biggest trick of all, which is that if we all hang around long enough, we're going to end up in a very dark and cold place because all of the energy will run down without the opportunity to sort of recoil and restart things again.
Let's, in our time left, come all the way back home, look out of doors, what's available to be seen under dark skies this week.
We have great winter constellations in the evening sky, all organized around the central constellation of Orion the Hunter. So that includes Taurus the Bull, Auriga the Charioteer, Gemini the Twins, and the two dogs, Canis Major and Canis Minor, all arranged in the circle we call the Winter Circle. However, for those who are up early in the morning, this is a great week to catch the moon as it passes by a number of bright planets you'll find in the south-southeastern portion of the sky. So Wednesday morning, just 2 days away, before 5:45 in the morning, you'll find Jupiter right below the moon. On Saturday, you'll find the moon halfway between Mars and Saturn. And then on Sunday morning, an hour later, before 6:45, you'll find the moon has just gone past Mars. So these are perfect opportunities to be able to identify the moon most easily and those bright planets as well.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.